Sadly, it's the end of Christmas, and nothing now stands between us and Lent but a few weeks of ordinary time. And so as we transition into ordinary time, we today celebrate the baptism of the Lord, where Jesus was baptized. And this used to be the gospel reading, this used to be when Epiphany was celebrated. It was this gospel, celebrated this event, where Jesus is revealed to the nations as the light of the world. Not just to the Jews, but to all the nations. And I personally like it how it is with the three kings from this eastern far-off country coming and paying homage to this child. But the baptism of the Lord is a powerful revelation. It's instructive for us to think of it in the same sense of Epiphany. Because what could be more clear to the nations than audibly to hear the voice of God the Father say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the Holy Spirit descends down on Jesus in this event of his baptism. So the heavens open, the Holy Spirit comes down, the Father's voice is heard. The reality of who Jesus is revealed. And this is where his public ministry begins. This is the moment after which Jesus is doing miracles. If you read the Bible, the actual real Bible, there are no miracles when Jesus is a little baby or a child or a kid, like a sixth grader. He doesn't do any miracles in junior high. Sorry, Mia, he doesn't do any miracles. You could, but he didn't. Now, if you read some of the some of the Gnostic Gospels, which are not really Christian or inspired by the Holy Spirit or have any semblance of being even like historically legitimate whatsoever, most of them were written 200 years after Christ. All of them are like anti-Christian and super weird. I digress. You read those gospels, Jesus does all kinds of weird miracles as a kid. It's kind of creepy, to be honest. But in the actual scriptures and in the history of the church, this is the moment after which Jesus is doing public ministry. He's doing miracles. He's healing people. He's like who he is, his identity, is not known only to him or a select few, like Mary and Joseph knew who he was. Some shepherds who saw the angels knew who he was. Elizabeth knew who he was. But just like everybody on the street, like they don't necessarily know who he is. Like you might have bought a chair or a table from him, but he didn't like pray with you and heal your cancer. And now he's going around and healing people's cancer. And you're thinking, I used to buy tables from that guy. Like, really? I grew up with him. Like I went to St. Mary's with him. Jesus? The thing is, I don't know if Jesus, maybe for some people that would have been like the most predictable thing in the world. Maybe, okay, that's going a bit far. Maybe that Jesus was a holy man would have been predictable. Being the Son of God is not predictable, I should say. But he's revealed now. It's signs and wonders. It's an audible voice from heaven. And what Jesus then goes and does is, like I said, he does this public ministry where he's preaching the gospel. He's a carpenter, but he's not working as a carpenter anymore. Now he's ready to get on with saving the world. And when this happens, as the heavens open and the Father speaks, it gives all who hear the same knowledge of his identity, of who he is. And as he's baptized, it's instructive for us as well in terms of what baptism actually changes into. As you know, I preach about this a lot, but the waters of baptism don't change Jesus. He doesn't need baptism. He's the Word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. He doesn't need to be baptized, but he needs to be baptized in order to transform the waters of baptism, Just like when Jesus touches a leper, the leper becomes healed, clean, made whole. Jesus isn't changed when he touches a leper. The leper is changed. For anyone else, it's different. If you touch a leper, you might get leprosy, but you're definitely unclean for sure until you go through some purification rites and like a quarantine and go show yourself to the priest. And after a certain time, you can be declared clean again. Because you touching something unclean changes you. Jesus touching something unclean changes it or them. And so when the waters of baptism touch Jesus, they are transformed. Before he was baptized, the waters of baptism were a symbol of repentance. People come down to John the Baptist and they acknowledge their sins. Prominent people, like seemingly holy people who maybe were not as holy as they wanted everyone to believe, come down to John in the Jordan and they acknowledge their sins. From the highest to the lowest, people were going out from Galilee, from Judea, all Judea, to go and be baptized. Acknowledging, and I have to think a lot of the people that were doing this, you know, to go down and be baptized was a great sign of humility. It was an act of humility. For a lot of people who maybe they were thought very highly of, and for somebody to see them go down and visibly go through this ritual might be, a baptism might be like, you know, like somebody might think less of them. Oh, he needed to be baptized? What did he do? What did she do? But those people who are going down to John, some of them are really, really sick of pretending like they don't have dysfunction in their lives. They're sick and tired of it. And they're ready to admit, yeah, there's some dysfunction in my life. I need to be healed. I need to be made clean. I need to repent. I need God and I want God. And I don't care if people know that I have issues and I'm a sinner. And so John's baptism would have been powerful as a symbol, but it wouldn't transform in and of itself. It wouldn't transform their hearts. After Jesus is baptized, baptism now changes to where, because it is the waters of baptism were made holy by touching Christ, now what they do is they actually confer divine life on those that they touch. The waters of baptism actually transform us into sons and daughters of God. And this is where we have to understand one very important word about Catholic theology. We participate in the identity of Jesus. We participate. Now, participate doesn't sound like a cool word to American ears. It sounds like a participation trophy. Or like the thing your teacher wants you to do when you're bored. Now you need to participate. Like, oh, really? You don't want a participation trophy. Brendan Burke doesn't have any participation trophies. Or do you? Yeah, he does. Okay. Well, we don't really hear this the same way theologically, but we need to try to hear it in terms of what it really means. What it means is we share in who Jesus is. His identity is something we participate in as much as he is called my beloved son by the Father. You are called my beloved son, my beloved daughter by the Father. In you I'm well pleased, the Father says. He calls you, the Father calls you his child because through your baptism you participate in the identity of Jesus. In our baptism we participate in Jesus' ministry, prophet, priest, and king. The prophet who preaches the gospel, speaks the truth. The priest who offers his or her life as a living sacrifice to the Lord, and the king who does things in the service of charity, sets the world in right order. And of course, starting with our own lives, we set the world in right order, right? It starts with here, and it starts with like making your bed, but then it goes out to the rest of the world. Prophet, priest, and king, we participate in who Jesus is. Sons and daughters of the Father, we participate in who Jesus is. And the question I just want to present to you is, thinking of this image of the heavens opening and the Holy Spirit coming down, the heavens open and the Father speaks. Do you live under an open heavens? Like in your life, in your family, at your home, at your workplace even, do you live under an open heavens where you are, where your identity as a son or a daughter of God the Father is being manifested. It's being experienced by you. I'm not saying it always feels true, because there will be days it just doesn't feel true. This isn't about following our emotions, but it is about living out of our true identity. And it, when the heavens open and the sun comes out, like just using weather as an analogy, I guess last night was a great example of, I would say, you could say the heavens did open and things came down. I didn't know if we'd be coming to church in canoes or ice skates or what, but, you know, if you think of like just a lot of layers of clouds and how that can be kind of, I guess, just depressing on a human level. Sometimes it's just, oh, man. And when the heavens open and the sun comes out, there's just something just biologically uplifting about that. Because we are rational animals, but that there's an animal part in that, right? There's something biological in that, something physiological that is uplifting. Just using that as an analogy, when the heavens open, might not feel that way. It might be a very cloudy day and in your emotions. But do you live under an open heavens? Means, do you converse constantly with the Father? Do you believe you can call on Him as a child? Do you believe that He speaks to you? Are you asking the Holy Spirit to come down and to fill what you do and say with His power? If we walk in the identity of who we are, we're going to see that there's nothing that can erase our identity. So there's nowhere that we need to be afraid. I think especially where you find this open heavens in your life being challenged are any points of fear, any places of fear or doubt. Those are probably just the two easiest. Any fear or doubt, it's a place where your identity is being challenged. Because guess what? If God says, I'm with you, my Holy Spirit is with you, you're not going to be afraid, or at least not ruled by fear. If you hear the voice of God audibly, which I don't think you will, I never have, but you can hear the voice of God inaudibly, and I know you will. That just melts away the doubt. The doubt's just, it just melts away. It's not the truth. It feels true sometimes, but it isn't. Sometimes I think we're content to walk around under a closed heavens simply because we don't call out to God with faith. We just forget who we are. We don't believe in who we are. We don't believe in who He is. But through your baptism, you participate in Jesus' relationship with the Father. There are no conditions. Like, it doesn't apply only in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, and if you've been good enough, you know. But if you need to go to confession, you're no longer a child of God. No, that's not true. That's a lie. Okay, just to be clear. If you need to go to confession, you can especially call out to God. Just the same as any other time. That does not erase your identity. I mean, if you need to go to confession, right? But sometimes I think we get this idea like, well, I sin, so really I can't pray right now. Maybe after I go to confession, maybe then I can pray and God will hear my prayer. That's dumb. That's not true. It's through calling out to God that we're actually going to have the faith and the courage to go to confession anyways. But the point is, our identity cannot be taken away from us. Now, we can be unfaithful to it. We can be unfaithful to who we are and to God's relationship to us. And we can walk away from Him, but He will never walk away from us. He will never disown us. And we can always call out to Him. And you don't have to earn it. I think that's the other thing that the Lord wants you to hear. I guess that's another way of saying what I just said about sin and confession. And you can't earn it. It's a gift. And God's gifts and His call are irrevocable. I don't know what scripture I'm quoting, but you can look it up. God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. That's from God's word. His gifts and his call are irrevocable. He will always be faithful to you. But we have to be faithful to him and to receive that gift of sonship, of being a daughter, of being able to call out to him. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this undeserved gift that we have to be able to call you Father. Increase our faith in this grace of our baptism. We ask that you would open the heavens in our lives, that we would be in constant conversation with you, that you would allow us to not hide from you, not try to close the heavens up and hide from you, but to allow you to speak into our lives and allow your Holy Spirit to be in us and with us. We ask this in Jesus' name.